on clmfamily.org. So today, Psalms 1. I'm not going to share 150 messages in this series, although you could, I guess. Well, no doubt you could. But in the Psalms, I do want to hit various Psalms because these anointed, they're really songs. It's songs and prayers that express the full range of human emotions and experiences. And we can relate to these inspired words so that we too are drawn to this one who inspired the words and was with all of those authors in their times of need or times of rejoicing, from the highest highs to the lowest lows, to the questions and the doubts and struggles, the battles, the victories, all of the betrayal, everything that they went through. We can relate to their words and be drawn to the same one that they came to be drawn to, pour out our heart to him, and trust him in our life's experiences. And the Psalms are arranged in five different books. They're like Psalms 1 through 41 is book one. I'll go into that a little bit more maybe Wednesday. But this first psalm was set as kind of, sometimes it's called a gateway psalm, because it really does open the door and set a tone for all of the psalms and really relates to the full scripture here. So what I'd like to do in this psalms, this one, I'm just going to read the six verses, and then we'll come back and maybe share 3 points from it. But I'll read the six verses, and this is a psalm of contrast between the righteous or those who know God and the unrighteous or ungodly. So there are two paths here. So this is what it says, Psalms 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are two paths that we can choose in life, and this is echoed throughout Scripture. Some of you are familiar with the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the great gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in." So let's choose the right way, Jesus' way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God, he said, the only way to have our sins forgiven and to be in right relationship with him. But thank God he is the way, and God made a way that we can. So Psalms 1 and verse 1, I want to read those first few words. Blessed is the man. Let me pause there just a second, because the blessings and the fruitfulness and the prosperity that this psalm talks about actually begin with the blessing of knowing God as our Father and having all of our sins forgiven and made righteous before him. So let me read a couple verses. If you want to just write them down, it's Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. We read these words, Romans chapter 4 and I'll read verses 6 through 8. And the scripture says this. This is also from a psalm. It says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God, that word imputes means credits, to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not charge or credit sin. Thank God, because of Jesus, the Bible says that he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's a supernatural work of God's Spirit when he convicts us of our sins. I know I've broken God's commandments. I know I'm not right with him, but he also draws us to the love and the grace and mercy and goodness of God to say, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe you are the sinless Son of God. You died, you were buried, you were raised from the dead, and right now I believe and confess you as my Lord. When God's Spirit births that in us, it's a supernatural work, and his Spirit makes us righteous. His Spirit indwells us to help us walk the right way, and he credits us with his everything that Jesus did for us on the cross, and all of our sins are completely forgiven and washed away, never to be held over our head again. Thank God. I know some people may, but God won't. Thank God. So let me give you a title of the message here this morning. God's Word is my guide. God's Word is my guide. And I want to pick back up there. I'll give you a moment to write that down. If you're writing notes, thank God for the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm thankful. See, we cannot live this way in our own human willpower and strength. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to live it out every day, even to help us get back up when we fall. So the Bible says this, Psalms 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That word scornful implies arrogance and mockery. The context is especially about God, his word, and his ways. But notice the verbs here. He walks, stands, and sits. That speaks of a lifestyle that is associated with those who do not know God. But it's a word of wisdom and warning to us to say, don't follow that path if you want to be blessed. So we need to be, brothers and sisters, we need to be wise and discerning about whose advice and counsel we follow and whose perspective we adopt. Because there is much ungodly counsel available. So we need to know what God's word, we need God to guide us by his word. Thank God we don't have to be guided by our own sinful desires, and we don't have to be guided by a world system that's going to perish anyway. So God's word is my guide. And along this line, it talks about walking with them, standing, sitting. Now we're to love everyone and be friendly toward everyone. But brothers and sisters, godly fellowship is so important. It is a spiritual safeguard because we can begin to develop those attitudes and actions and just choices of those we're close to. And if they're not good choices and good influence, we can allow ourselves to be influenced the wrong way. Someone said friends are like elevators. They can take us up or they can take us down. Proverbs 13:20 says that if we walk with the wise men, we will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So let's choose godly fellowship, love everyone, get close, but be the light to them. Let's not allow them to dampen our light and cause us to lose our salt and our flavor for the Lord. So godly fellowship, again, is so important. It's a spiritual safeguard. Let me give you these three real quick if you want to write them down. How do we make God's word our guide? And I believe I can sum it up like this. Delight, dwell on and declare, and do. All right, so let's look at the first one. How do we make God's word our daily guide? Psalms 1 and verse 2 says, but his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We are distinguished by what we delight in. Let me say that again. We are distinguished by what we delight in. If we are born again, the one who inspired these words indwells us. He lives on the inside, and he puts a desire within us. I'm not saying we even like to read or whatever it is. That's not the issue. The issue is we want to know God's word, and whether that's just hearing it, meditating on it, singing it, praying it, it's all available to us. So to delight in it means to gain joy and pleasure from it. We're told in the New Testament, desire God's word as a newborn baby desires milk when he or she is hungry. Delight in it. Desire God's word. Because if we delight in it, I believe that's the first step. If we delight in it, we're going to constantly want more. But if we don't, it's easy to neglect. So we need to delight in God's word. Would you please turn to someone next to you and tell them, let's delight in God's word. So delight, find joy. The prophet said, your words were found and I ate them. I got it in me. And your word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Haven't some of you experienced that where you have just whatever the need was, you've opened God's word or you turned it on somehow and it brought joy to your heart. It brought strength when you were weak, comfort when you were hurting. God's word is my guide. Number two, so delight. And then number two, dwell on and declare. I'll read that same verse once again, Psalms 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. In his law he does meditate day and night. Meditation in the scripture is not just like, you know, kind of a passive mental thought. It's not sitting in some lotus position humming. I remember seeing that years ago. People, you know, say we're meditating, and that didn't seem appealing to me. Scriptural meditation involves both our minds and our mouths. How many of us have ever worried? Would you please raise your hands? You meditated. It was negative meditation. That's all it is. Meditate is, you know how it goes. We revolve it over in our mind. We feed it and it grows and we it comes out and we say it to ourselves and we say it to others and we spread it and it just kind of reinforces it. What did Brother Mark say? Don't park there, because it doesn't stay a parking lot. If we park there, it becomes quicksand and we drown in it. So his delight is in the law of the Lord. Let me give you a couple of verses if you want to write this down. Let me give you this one. I didn't read it back in that first part, delight, but it's Psalms 119, 23 and 24. Let me just read it. Psalms 119, 23 says this. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You see how God's word was guiding this author here? He didn't allow that ungodly counsel and advice and what people were saying against him. He said, I'm just going to meditate on your word. I'm just going to delight in it. And your word is going to be my guide, not all the voices I'm hearing around me and to me. So he says to meditate on it day and night. In other words, it's a lifestyle. I like to say it this way, just so people can relate, or I can relate maybe, so we know what meditation is. I like to say, dwell on it and declare it. I dwell on a scriptural truth and then declare it, whatever that is. For example, verse 2, maybe this week you'd be willing to really focus on this verse every single day. Maybe when you get up in the morning, you write it down or look at it, read it, listen to it on your phone. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I like to make it personal. I like to say, Lord, I delight in your word, and in your word I meditate day and night. So that way, it helps me to live it out. So maybe that'll be a little something of his wisdom for you to help you. And then the scripture says this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Again, if you want to just write them down, Romans chapter 12. I meditated on these verses years ago, and it really started a lifestyle for me that I make God's word, not just, you know, read it every day, but I really want to think about it throughout the day, because years ago, I remember even when I started to read the Bible, I would read maybe the Bible in a devotion, and I'd go on my way, and I didn't think about the rest of the day. 10 minutes later, I couldn't tell you anything I read. So it didn't benefit me a whole lot. But if we think about it through the day, it can become, I think of it like this. If God's word is like milk and meat, meditating on it helps us digest it. It gets on the inside. It becomes a part of us. And that's the goal, is so that when I'm meditating, you ever seen people, I think they call it davening. If you ever see a video of the people praying at the Western Wall, the Jewish people, they may have like a prayer shawl on and they're doing like this. And they're praying out of their, maybe it might be a prayer book or whatever. But the idea is they're putting their whole being into it. It's not just a thought. They're putting it into it because the idea is I'm going to drown out outside distractions and I'm going to focus on this word and get it in me, or this prayer to the Lord. And, you know, so that's for us as believers, that we all have to battle thoughts, don't we? Distractions, man, you go to pray. Even this morning, I was like, I don't know why. Some days it's more of a struggle than others. This morning trying to pray, and it seemed like my mind was wanting to wander all over the place. So I can relate, if you can as well. But to try to open my mouth, it helps. If I speak it, it can help focus my thoughts. So again, mind and mouth. And the Bible says this, Romans chapter 12, That's where I was going to go, wasn't I? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that means set apart for God, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, if we put that on the screen, would you read this verse out loud with me? Let's read it together. Ready? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see how God's word is my guide there? So because the world is always trying to program us to follow its ways, and then we have our own sinful tendencies we got to battle all the time. So to renew our mind then means I've got to put off the old ways of thinking. I've got to put off the lies. I've got to put off maybe what people say about me. I've got to put off even some of my experiences, and I've got to put on who God says I am. And I've got to put on healing verses, and I've got to put on strengthening verses to help me live out God's word. And that's a continual, I mean, every day, if we really want to live this out, to make God's word our guide, we must constantly yield ourselves, present ourselves, our bodies to God, and renew our minds in order to live it out. Because he says that's how we're transformed. That's how we change. That's how we grow in Christ's likeness to be more like him. So we renew our minds by meditation. Let me give you one more scripture here from Proverbs chapter 4, if you want to write these verses down. I'll read them to you from the New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20, 21, and 23. The Bible says this, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words." That's our hearing. "Don't lose sight of them." That's our seeing. "Let them penetrate deep into your heart." Here's what I've learned, not only from God's word, I've observed it in life. What we hear, what we see, and what we experience gets into our heart. And then our heart affects how we live. How is it that someone can say, they're making a destructive, a dangerous decision, and it makes no sense, but yet sometimes it's done because sometimes it's more emotional than intellectual. That's how powerful our heart pull can be. So then he says this, again, verse 21, "Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart." And verse 23, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Again, what we see, hear, and experience, good or bad, gets into our heart. Yes, it does. And then our heart affects how we live. Maybe I relate it like this. Some of you younger people, single, you want to be married one day. That's a great desire. And I hope God will bless you with a beautiful or handsome, but a godly spouse. But do you realize that even now in your spirit and on the inside, you're being programmed as to what type of spouse you will be from your own upbringing and so forth? Maybe some of you parents can relate to this, what I'm going to say. How many of you, if you had a son or daughter growing up, you at one time maybe did something or said something to them? I'll use myself as an example. When Brittany was coming along, I don't even remember what it was or what I said, but I just remember on one occasion, whatever I said to her, I was speaking out of my mouth and my mind was saying, "That was my dad." It had been programmed into me, but I didn't know it until I got into that situation. Can any of you relate to what I just said? So, or maybe it's, you know, on a job or handling money or maybe being a parent yourself. So you see how important it is to start when we're young, to get some of those old ways out so you don't have to keep dealing with them. BB and CC Winans, I remember hearing one time their father, they testified, they said, "Our dad told us the more junk you let in, the more you have to battle." We want to be wise and not, we got enough battles. Let's not try to add to them. God's word is my guide. Would you please say that with me? God's word is my guide. And then real quick, before I give you this last one, I thought about this Tuesday night because we had a team feeding the needy. And I remembered Years ago, we had a team every Friday night who served the meals at the Salvation Army Men's Shelter in Petersburg. And so one night I was over there with a brother. We served, you know, on a rotating basis. And I was talking to someone there eating, and I said, just asked, you know, if you would like prayer. And he said, yeah. And he said, I'm struggling. And it doesn't matter what the addiction was. You know, he was struggling with an addiction. So I said, okay. So I was getting ready to pray. And I don't usually do this, or certainly not always. But in that moment, I said, it came to my mind, how was your relationship with your dad? So he was like this, getting ready to, you know, his head bowed. And he looked up at me like this and said, he was a devil. And it made me realize that sometimes those experiences that we've been through, I'm not making light of that. The brother was struggling because of maybe some things he had experienced even as a child. But there is a heavenly Father. He's the only perfect one. And thank God that he's available. And we can know him. I shared this last year, real quick, on last year, Father's Day. I don't typically stay overnight on a Saturday. I'd gone to see Brittany, maybe ate with her. God willing, today I'll leave after service and spend Father's Day evening as she takes me out to eat this evening. I'd just be glad to see her on Father's Day. But all the years I started going, driving her there, doing a, College for a Weekend when she was a junior in school. That was 2011. And all the years up and down the road, up and down 460, I'd never seen this. Until last Father's Day, I ended up spending the night, had to come back, you know, get up, I think 2.5 hours of a ride. I got to get here. I got to shower. I got to get to worship practice beforehand. And for some reason, I saw a street named Hurt, H-U-R-T, Hill, Hurt Hill. And all the years I've been up and down that road and never noticed it, Hurt Hill. And I thought, man, that's an address. Well, I live on Hurt Hill, 15, 16, no. Spiritually, I'm talking about some people, we can live on Hurt Hill because of what we've experienced. But God will help us move. We don't have to live there. We can move to Healed Hill. We can move to Redeemed Hill and Saved Hill and Godly Hill and Righteous Hill by the grace of God. We can move and God will help us. It's not overnight. It's not instant. If it was easy, everyone would do it. But to be renewed and on the inside and to live that truth out, do you see how important it is of God's word for us to be our guide, man, every single day, delight in it, dwell on it, declare it, and then finally, good intentions are not enough. We got to do it. Do it. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Fruit there is Christ-likeness. Remember what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5? John 15, 5. Again, I'll just read it to you. I've got two scriptures, and that's it. John 15, verse 5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, lives in me, stays in close fellowship with me, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We can't bear the fruit of God's Spirit without God's Spirit in us. Then he says, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And this, the blessed is the man, you'll be like a tree planted by the river's water in every season of life. I love that phrase. And then it says, whatever you do will prosper. Let me give you a definition real. That prosper word, it means to be powerful, prevail, or succeed. To be powerful, prevail, or succeed. But that is to be powerful and to prevail and succeed in doing God's will. And that may come with earthly prosperity. If it does, thank God, use it for the glory of God. It may not. The issue is not outward things. The issue is my relationship with the Lord, and I'm abiding, and I'm bearing fruit, and he's blessing me. Brothers and sisters, it does not mean that everything in life will go our way. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So he said, I've spoken these things to you that in me you may have peace. Only in me. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. It won't take you out. So to God's word is my guide. I would rather face every temptation, every trial, every battle, every hurt, every loss, every question, everything that life can throw or anyone or the demons or anyone else, I would rather face them all with the Lord than face any of them without him. That's what it means to prosper. That's what it means to be successful and blessed and fruitful for the Lord. I'll close with this. Let me read these last few verses once again. Psalms 1:4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. It's the outer husk of grain that pictures a life that's disconnected from God. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word knows means to, it's like to know in a close fellowship. It speaks of closeness and it speaks of fruitfulness and it speaks of approval. So it's knowing God in a relationship, a close, caring relationship. If you want to write this verse down, let me read it to you. Last verse on this Father's Day is found in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. It's the same when it talks about knowing the way of the righteous. This is how it says it about Abraham. Genesis 18:19, the Lord says, I have known him. Same word, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God's word is my guide. By his grace, how about you? God's word is my guide. Let me close with this thought. Do you have a close personal walk with the Lord? He loves you. Those online, he loves you. And he wants you in his family. I'm so thankful God paid a great price to adopt me into his family. And he wants all of us in his family, sons and daughters, knowing him as our father and having a close daily walk with him. So I want to ask you this morning, first of all, for you to just think about it. Do you have that close daily walk with him? Are you living in his will? I just remembered something I wrote. I wrote this 21-day devotional just as a little question and answer guide to, I hope, draw people to the Lord and get them grounded, get them started in God's word and walking with him. But at the end, I've made a little congratulations. And this is what John Maxwell said. You cannot change your life until you change something you do every day. You cannot change your life until you change something you do every day. And then I wrote, Christianity is ultimately about a life-giving relationship with the Lord. Get to know him, enjoy being with him. He's a good, good father. If today you say, I want to make God's word my daily guide so I can be blessed and I can be fruitful and prosperous for the Lord, then I want to ask you this now. How? How will you do it? Because you got to work it out just like I do in your own schedule and demands and everything. I got to get up early. I do it anyway, but that's just better for me. Later in the day, I get too sleepy because I get up early. And so I have to have that little time where I try to. But you got to do what works for you. You can't do what works for me. You can try it. If it works, stick with it. But some of you might be too, I know at one time I wouldn't have been able to do that. I'd have been like, I'm going to lay here in your presence, Lord. That's it. I'm out. But if you want to, God will give us grace and we can seek him for wisdom to live it out. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Share a lot with you today. I hope it's practical and livable. Let me just ask, first of all, is there anyone here today who would say, Brother Rocky, I don't know if I know God as my Father, but I want to. I do believe what Jesus did for me. I believe who he is. I believe this scripture. and I want to know him as my father today. Or maybe, like me in my testimony, I'd gotten out of church and got away from the Lord at one time. I'm thankful he didn't give up on me, but he drew me back. Is there anyone here today? And you just know in your heart, you need to come on back into close fellowship with your Father in heaven. Is there anyone here today to say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me? And that's me. I'm just going to lift my hand, and I'm going to just lift you up in prayer. Anyone at all to say, I need, thank you, Lord, bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. You say, I want a close walk with my Father in heaven. And then also, maybe for some, you haven't been consistent. You haven't been that daily guide in the Word. Whether you read it or not, you can always listen to it. Just meditate on it. Man, get a verse, get that Psalms 1, 2, and think about it all week. Anyone could do. You don't have to be able to read to do that. Just think about it and think how to live it out. But is there someone who would say, Brother Rocky, I want wisdom in that because I need to be faithful and consistent. Is there anyone who would say, just I need wisdom and I just want to seek God? Would you lift your hands that I could pray for you? Thank you. Lord bless you. Father, we come to you right now. And I want to, first of all, pray for my brothers and sisters that you would grant wisdom and grace. We need you. And we need that time where we can just nurture a close walk with you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to live it out. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation to do what works for us. And then if we miss, something happens and comes up out of the ordinary one day, help us not to quit and give up. Help us just to be faithful. You didn't quit. You went all the way to the cross. Help us, Lord, to just look to you to encourage us. I pray for some today. Maybe they're living on Hurt Hill and we just need to come to you to be healed, to be comforted and strengthened. And Lord, for those who are here today who say, I want a closer walk with you, my Father in heaven, draw us. Lord, you started the work. Now may you do it and draw us that we would get to just be closer to you every single day of our lives. Enjoy fellowship with you. Receive your love and love you back and fulfill your call and your purpose and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.